Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, and Kamana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you've made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Eliana Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, and Ankana Adonai. I will praise you till I'm changed, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Eliana Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same, by the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, in Ankana Adonai. I will praise you till I'm changed, El Shaddai.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Milken. That was a treat indeed. I hadn't heard that song in a while, but it's beautiful. Y'all ready? Praise Him. Don't keep me up here talking. Y'all just come on. Get this thing on. You need to stand.
you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, as you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, as you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise. Amen.
Sister Zoe, she's a kid of many talents. Appreciate that, Kaylee. I mean, you too. Many talents, both of them.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Really enjoyed that song. It just sounded wonderful.
Amen. God bless them. Let's take up our offering, and I'm gonna ask Luke. You want to come help us? Luke's always ready. Every time I say Luke, he goes, "Come on, Luke." Oh, he's got to get his shoes on.
Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for all you do for us. Bless this tithes and offering. And, just now pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just sing this little quick song right here, Highway to Heaven, and with this, I guess we'll have Brother Wade come on this. Let's start with the chorus. Someone help me.
Highway to hell.
Let's stand to our feet.
None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Oh, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking, walking up the King's highway. There is joy in knowing with Him I am going, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway.
My way gets brighter.
Oh, my way gets brighter. My load gets lighter. walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, Jesus' love will guide me, walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Let's sing that first verse again. Oh, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. There is joy in knowing with Him I am going. I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway.
Sing it to Him again.
It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway.
Highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Amen. Aren't you glad? You're on the right highway? Boy, doesn't it get nervous? Get real nervous when you get on the wrong highway? Or you don't know where you're going? Don't know what's going on? Whoa, that's pretty rough. But we know where we're going. We're the bride. If we don't know where we're going, you better find out real quick. And I know y'all not praying for all this rain, so let's pray that this rain stops. Man, it has rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. That song, Building Ark's, on my mind. But good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you all for coming back again. We appreciate you. Love you with the love of the Lord. I know some of you this morning, I sent out a WhatsApp, Brother Russ Dunker's nurse that takes care of his special needs child. Had a head-on collision this morning, and I don't want to read the whole thing. It's really long, but in essence, the husband said thank you for the prayers. They thought there was 3 breaks in her pelvis. There's only 2. The brain bleeds has pretty much stopped and stabilized, but it was a head-on collision. They said it was pretty intense. So we need to keep them in prayer because Brother Russ has been showing her the message and her husband the message, and they've pretty much accepted it. I say pretty much. They're still, you know, working on some things, but he was really struck by what you guys had put on WhatsApp, because Brother Russ had sent him the link to it, and that you had prayed and that things were working toward the good, not working toward the bad. All right. So everybody got that. I got to read something too. I forgot to bring my phone. Sorry about that. We get connected to these things so much. Just Master Richard Button. Oh, that's from Anderson. Master Richard Button. We've got a Richard Button back there. Somebody Master Richard Button real quick. All right, here we go. This is from Janet. She didn't want to come up here and do this, so I'm going to do it for her. She did a good job this morning, and all the other ones too. Amen. All right, here we go. I want to say a deep thank you to everyone that participated and always participates every year. Without your participation, we could not do this. And it means so much when you all are willing to participate and be a team player. I have a huge thank you to everyone that helped with the costumes and props. Those were pretty neat. That I may not have already had and helped get the children dressed. Rachel, Monica, Julie, Anna, Amy, Jeffrey, and Boyd. If I leave somebody out, she did, I didn't. Boyd, he always does. Boyd always does almost anything I ask him to do. I'm reading exactly what she sent me. And he's always there for me, willing to build any prop that I need. He is there for late night, no sleep nights. You know, why am I reading that? He's there when I'm stressed out and overwhelmed. Well, she loves Boyd. So do we. So she appreciates him very much. So do we. I also want to just say a huge thank you to Rachel, Canada. She is always there for me as well. She's creative. She knows what I'm thinking. That's scary. And willing to put in the extra. I'm just reading what she said. Put in the extra hours. It may not even seem like it, but even a small production like this, Rachel and I alone probably put in 20-plus hours preparing along with Boyd and Joseph. Janet's got the same syndrome my wife does. It would have took me 3 sentences to do this, and it takes her 3 pages. So, yeah, when June tells a story, you have to, okay, all right, okay, so the shirt was blue. Tell me what happened. The four of us spent off and on 2 hours contributing, so we know they worked a long time, right? Rachel's always willing to do things with me, and even if it's last minute, she helps me. She has helped me almost every big event in my life for the past 18 years. Wow. My kids' wedding and reception, Zach's wedding and other weddings, yeah, y'all really did a good job at Zach's wedding. Everybody did, pitching in, helping. Other weddings, my kids' graduation, showers. She's been there for all kinds of events over the years. Even worked for me when I had my shop in Gainesville for 10 years. I didn't know that. She was my right-hand woman. She does what needs to be done and picks up the slack. Oh, just give her a crown. I just missed a couple of sentences. I just wanted to make sure everyone here knows that I recognize their contribution and always also how much I appreciate their participation and help. It takes a team, and that's exactly correct. Even Esther Smallwood playing the piano and Tony coming and sitting patiently while we practice. I'm just reading what she wrote. And Joyce filling in at the last minute. I figured she was probably a last minute fill in there. Brother and Sister Dale were not just allowing us to do this, but encouraging us to do this. And I sure appreciate that. Amen. We appreciate Sister Janet. So now that the sermon's over, we can go home. We appreciate everybody's help. It's a team effort. We're a team. We've always done this for years and years and years and years. I don't get nervous when it comes around events like this. I know somebody's going to pitch in. I know somebody's going to do something. So I don't see where we've ever been without. And I think we've done as much as we can with what we have. I wish we had a stage 3 times this size to get everybody in it, but we don't. But you know what? With this limited space, they do a wonderful job in this small facility. All right, so remember Brother Aaron's preaching Wednesday night. This coming Sunday, Brother Bob's going to be in Ohio, so pray for him. He'll be flying up the weekend. Luis will be at Brother Gene Williams next weekend, and then I think Brother Aaron's going to be gone too. So I'll be here by myself, me and Daddy. December 25th, we'll have no church service. And then remember December the 30th and 31st, Brother Wayne Lawson will be here. I want to congratulate Esther Black and Micah Curtis. When they come, we'll really bring them up here and pray for them, pray with them, because they are now engaged. All right, Sister Esther Black and Brother Micah Curtis, they're engaged to be married. Don't know the time yet, but we sure appreciate them. We've watched them grow up. I was looking at some pictures back there on the archives. Man, little Zach Black, he's married now. He's got facial hair. Not in that order, but... And it's good to have Sister Lily with us, and she's just a real beautiful part of the group, and we appreciate her. Is Dad here? Oh, he's in the back. Okay. All right. Okay. We appreciate Pop. We need to keep praying for him that old coughing will get out of the way, because you know how it is when you cough, and then when you cough uncontrollable, it's even worse. So we want to pray that the Lord will bless him in that. So. I know we all have needs. This is a trying time of the year. Everybody's got things to do. Like I said, next weekend, let's pray for our brothers being out on the field preaching the gospel. And then also remember families getting together, people going to be traveling. The Lord just be with us all. Satan would hate, he'd love to make us have a head-on collision, but we're going to pray for each and every one of us that we're not going to have any issues, and we'll continue this year into January and have a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for the people here. Without the brothers and sisters in this church, it would be just four walls, a ceiling and a floor, and there would be nothing here. But Lord, they bring you here in their bodies and their soul, Lord. They worship you, Lord. They worship you in song and putting these plays together and working together and bringing food together and everybody pitching in and doing what they're supposed to do, Lord. I pray that you would continue that throughout the coming years until you come, Lord, and take us home. And then we won't have to do this anymore. We won't have to do, we'll go to a banquet supper that's already fixed for us. We'll go to a house that's already fixed for us. And we'll be there for an eternity, be able to eat and drink, Lord, and enjoy each other's company. Father, I pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, be with Brother Dale there in the back, Lord, that you'd raise him up, Lord, and take that old cough away from him. And all the ones, Lord, Sister Freedom, different ones that are not here, that are sick, Lord, I pray that you'd touch their bodies. You're still the healer. And Lord, as the Bible says, as the word goes forth, that you sent your word and healed the people and delivered them from destruction. So I pray, Lord, that you be with us the furtherment of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Luke 6, verse 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. And here's what I want to get to this afternoon. I was sitting yesterday, or day before yesterday, and just kind of chilling out. And I thought, Lord, there's got to be, you know, there's layers to this message. There's layers to the Bible. It's like someone says, an onion peel. The layers are there. They're the same layers, but they're real thin. But you just peel them back, and it's the same limb. It's the same orange. I mean, onion. So I said, Lord, there's got to be something that connects this to the seals. So we're going to try with the help of the Lord, because I believe he showed me some things day before yesterday to help us put these in the seals, because I want to call us from now, we're seal people. Not seals, but seal people. We have come. The seven seals are open. Brother Dale, I believe, has preached the word to us, opened up the seals to us. The prophet brought us the opening of it, and I believe Brother Dale, even way back in the 80s, he brought it like no one before and no one after. And you can hate me if you want to, but listen to those 60-something sermons. If you'll listen to those 60-something sermons, it'll change your life. Brother Boyd, you got your hand up? Me too. It'll make you see the word in a way different than you just say, well, it's horses riding off, and it's red colors and black colors, and no, there's something behind that. And Brother Brown said it was a book of redemption. All right, so let's read Revelation 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, what beast was that? It was the lion, L-I-O-N. Is everybody with me? So keep that in the back of your head so we can get through into the service. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was what? Something was given to him. A crown was given to him. And he went forth what? Conquering and to conquer. You may be seated in the Lord as blessing to the reading of the word. But just to get to that, I want to read here as we did this morning. In the Laodicean church age, I know there's some new ones here. Some that have never heard these terminologies before. And we appreciate new people coming in. And we want to not so much go all the way back, but if you've got the Holy Ghost, I'll promise you, if you'll open your heart up to God, he will fill it with the truth. He will catch you up. He will not leave you behind. He will bring you to where you need to be. If you'll just open yourself up and say, God, I don't understand what that man's saying. Could you please either send somebody or tell me what to read? Tell me what to study, and I promise you, if you'll make yourself available, God will give you the answer to what you need. So we know that Brother Branham came for a special reason. He came for two reasons. Number one is, as we said before, as Jude said, he came, Brother Brown came to take those mystery, those truths that were in the first church age, second, third church age, and what did he do? He brought them what? Current. To take care of all the denominational ideas, to take care of all the man's ideas, to take care of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and tell what the truth of that is. Amen? The truth of marriage and divorce, the truth of all these different things, the truth of water baptism, the truth of no eternal hell. What? Bringing the loose ends together so that we can be smarter than somebody else. Don't ever try to use this message to know something somebody else don't know. That's the wrong attitude to have. The right attitude is to say, Lord, it couldn't have been me. It could not have been me. Right? I could be like that person over there. But you don't want to stand up like those Pharisees did and said, oh, you know, that guy's over there confessing his sins and he's got his hands up and he's crying out to God. I never did those things. Remember, what did Jesus say? Which one went home forgiven? Not this guy. That guy did. Amen. So the best thing for us to do is just get the slate cleared out. Know that we're in the right message of the hour. Know that we've got the truth and that we're listening to the truth. Not so much to say me, but all of the whole thing, the whole fivefold ministry, the whole every time you put on a tape, every time you watch somebody, maybe on YouTube, Brother Donnie Reagan and different ones, listen to them. It's like Brother Nell's always said. He said, even in error, he's found truth. Listen to that. Even in error, he's found truth. Because you listen to somebody and it makes you study. It makes you dig more. It makes you hear this little something and maybe the bell goes off. Something ain't right about that. Well, you know what it makes you do? It makes you go find some quotes. It makes you go find some Bible. It makes you go pray, Lord, is this it or is this it? All right, so it's a constant unfolding of God, and that's what I believe the message of the hour is, the constant unfolding of God. It's not just one drop on top of you and just, you know. No, you couldn't stand that. We have to develop, as we're talking about now, we have to develop from what? Babies to adults. So, and I told you that the Lord, a couple of years ago, said, you know, tell the people don't worry. He's not going to leave anybody behind that wants to be caught up. And if you don't want to be caught up, then God can't help you anyway. But this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he'll turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. What? The children, the Pentecostal babies that had their doctrine wrong, that had their speaking in tongues wrong, that had their gifts wrong, that had their idea that if you spoke in tongues, you got the Holy Ghost and it didn't matter how you lived afterwards. That's Pentecostal babies. But he was trying to bring them back to the faith of what? Of the mature fathers. When Peter, James, and John, when they were at the gate beautiful, when Paul was writing most of the New Testament, they were mature Christians. They weren't novices. They weren't somebody that just come into message, in other words. Everybody with me? Okay? So number one, according to Malachi 4, he'll turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And if you'll read a few times, if you'll look up the word years of preparation. Brother Brown talks about it several times. He said it's not in the years of preparation. In other words, his full message was not just the years of preparation, not just bringing these truths back. It was what? It was then, like we were saying there, it was to open the seals to show us the full plan of redemption, not part of redemption, the full plan of redemption. So everybody all right with that? We're just kind of easing along here just for a little bit. Maybe for a couple of weeks so everybody can. And listen, I catch up. All of us. We all have a catching up time. We're like, there's been many times Brother Dale's preached sermons and 2 or 3 months later, I'm like, but I said, God, there's got to be something in there. Got to be something in there. That may not have been for me that day, but give me something for me. And then the Lord will put it all together for you. If you'll make yourself available. Now, if you just say, well, I'm just lit. Listen, I've heard this 25 times. Well, one day you're going to hear it for the last time. Amen. So number two, so he has a two-part that he's going to do. So Brother Brown says, not in the years of preparation. The healing campaigns, you know, I enjoy it, but not as much as I used to. I enjoy that, you know, they made a tape one time of all just prayer lines. That's okay, but that's not for growth. That's for faith. Got to have faith first. But then there's got to be a growth. What did Brother Brown say? He said that was just what? The bait on the hook. You catch the fish with the hook. You just throw bait out there and they're not going to catch a thing. But you got to put what? Hide the hook in the bait. And once you throw it out there, well, what was he hiding? These mystery truths is what was hiding in the message of the hour that people were trying to get up to. And you know what? A lot of times they'd take the bait. They wouldn't get the hook. They dwelt on what? The minor, the prayer lines and all that. That's okay. To a degree. But that's not going to mature you. If Brother Brown says every time you come up to the pulpit and get prayed for, you get weaker, that doesn't mean you get stronger. Everybody with me? All right. Now, well, we pray for the sick. We pray for anybody that wants to be prayed for. But there's got to come a time when you may not can get to the people that you need to try to get to. And you have to do it for yourself. And you know what? If you're not used to it, you ought to practice some once in a while. Practice talking to God for yourself. Okay? Guy asked me this morning, we sell so much honey that we have to buy from a guy that lives in Maysville. And we met him this morning. Or I did, at 15 minutes till 8. We got to talking, and I looked down at my watch. He said, oh, do you have to go to Mass this morning? Sure. I said, no. I said, we don't believe that. I said, we believe in going to church. Hello, somebody. I mean, if somebody can put that, a Catholic, you know, they go to church every day. Devout ones go to church. They do Mass all the time. And where's Sister Anna, right, Sister Anna? I mean, they go to Mass. That's their thing. That's their salvation. That's their Holy Ghost, is to get that wafer and get the blessing from the not the Pope, but from the priest. And I thought, that's kind of funny. Well, really, because every time we pick up from him, I got to go because we're going to go to church. So he always wants to meet on Sunday. So I said, no, we're not Catholic. I said, I should have told him the original Catholic, but I didn't have time to explain that either. I needed to leave and get to church. So I cut it off and I said, nope, not Catholic, but see you later. All right, so number two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders, which is the seven seals. Now, what is the thunder? The thunder is the voice of God. Not some mysterious boom, boom, boom. It's the voice of God. When the seal breaks to you, there's something happens. You hear this, you hear something you've never heard before. Amen? If the seals ever break to you, you will hear something that you've never heard before. And that's the thunder, or the voice of God speaking to you. So in Revelation 10, Brother Brown, see, if he was just Malachi 4, then we need a 10:7 to come. Because we need the maturity part. We've already, down through the church ages, from church age 1 to church age 7, they've got the Holy Ghost. They just had a problem with some of the denominational ideas. God winked at that ignorance, but in the end time, he said, no, I'm going to send you a prophet, according to Malachi 4, and that same prophet according to Revelation 10, verse 1 through 7. Everybody with me on that? So Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals, contained in them. So the thunder, when the thunder sounds, that's the revelation that's inside the seal. It will be these divinely revealed, not just haphazardly, divinely revealed mystery truths that what? Literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. To me, that's the capstone. Everybody with me on that? The seals, don't get me wrong, but you don't need the seals for this. Because Paul had this, and he didn't know what a seal was. He never heard about a seal. Everybody with me? Peter, James, John, they all had this right here working in their life. But what happened was, is the headstone, once he went to heaven, there in Acts 1, he went and took and let the head left. And to be real honest, men became head of the church. Satan became the head of the church now. This is anointed ones at the end time. He's trying to be the head of the church now. So in him being wanting to be the head of the church, God sent the headstone back. Revelation 10:1, that mighty angel that came down from heaven, that's Christ. That's the Son of Man. That's God moving into John. Come on, somebody. That's God moving into John. I didn't think about doing this, but let's just continue for a minute. But Revelation 10:1 was the mighty angel. Who'd he come down to? He came down to John. And John tied the bride. He came down and he was standing on earth in a man called William Branham. Not that he was the Son of Man. No way. The requirement of the Son of Man was, is he had to be virgin born. Brother Branham was not virgin born, so he was not the Son of Man. He identified himself as a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. All right. So that's the where the mystery truths come in. But people, you know, Satan wants to be so close till he'll put it in their mind. Oh, he was God. God didn't say that. God didn't tell people Brother Brown was God. Satan did. Satan's a what? Brother Brown calls him one time a tripper-upper. He's somebody that wants to what? Get your mind off of the real and get you about that far off. All right? Brother Branham was the greatest man that ever walked on the face of this earth outside of Jesus Christ. But he was not Jesus Christ. Because God said and declared, I will not share my glory with no one. I am a jealous God. I won't share my glory because I didn't create me. I always was. I created everything else. Amen? So these divinely reveal what? Mystery truths are going to turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers, true Pentecost, not Pentecost 1906. So let's read just a few minutes on truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. The only way we're going to come to real true sanctification, I don't have my chart. I took it off of my notes for a minute. But you know that we came through sanctification where the unclean spirit goes out, right? Everybody with me? All right, don't get quiet on me. All right. That unclean spirit leaves. That's coming out of your soul. Alright? Alright. Say now that we got it filled with the Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Comes in and what? Seals. That thing can't get out. I mean in. God can't get out. You're a sealed unit. But we got to go, as we were talking about this morning, you got to go to that second man. The spirit man of memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. And you've got to see that in there is like Sister Shepherd's dream. There was a box. And when that water, what? Water, the word, was poured into that box. What happened? Sticks came out. Trash came out, Brother Brown said. After she was born again. So that's what we're dealing with now. We're not dealing... We're not dealing with sometimes truth. We're not dealing with sanctifying your soul again. Okay? Because I believe in once born again, always born again. Everybody with me? I don't believe like the Baptists do, once saved, always saved, and you go out and do the way you wanted to, and you did the same as you did before. Nope, don't believe that. There is a change in your life because somebody else has moved into the house. And the devil's out, but you know what? He still wants to get back in. He can't understand why he can't get back in and make you curse, as I was talking about this morning. Make you do the things you used to do. He has no clue. You know why? Because he can't get born again. He's always been the way he was. He was perfect. But iniquity was found in his heart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the sanctification that we're talking about now is taking these bits of demons, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, is driving out those other little guys. Those little demons that bother us all the time. As the cartoon has, you know, got one on your shoulder, one on the other. Well, I got about 16 or 17, 18, 20 on this side and one on this side. But this one, listen, if you're born again, this one wins. Amen? This one wins if you're born again. If you're not, then you're in trouble anyway. Sanctify them, us, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I believe we have the truth. So you got to believe, as even Brother Bob was talking about this morning, you cannot believe that scripture he read about forsake the assembly. You can just not believe that. But that doesn't make it wrong. That doesn't negate it or do away with it. No, that means you just what? You don't believe in truth. You don't believe that you're supposed to do what the Bible says do. So if you'll get it off on one, you'll get off on another one. All right? Listen. Every day of our life, we don't live 100% of the Bible. Because we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We have a carnal mind. But having the mind of Christ is supposed to, what the Bible says, what? Transform us. into his image. That's what this statue of perfect man is. It's transforming. It's letting that inside guy work outside. Let it out. One way or the other. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so now I send them into the world. So he's sending us out in the world. He's not going to put a hedge around us. Not like Job. He's not going to put a hedge around us. He's going to let Satan do all he can. Because you know what he told Job? Satan said, you got a hedge around him. He said, if you'll take that hedge down, he said, I'll make him deny you. And the Lord said, okay, the hedge is down, but you can't touch his life. I'm the only one that can do that. That's why the trials we go through and the tribulations we go through, we think, where is God? He's right there. If you're a son and daughter of God and you believe that you are, every trial, every test is for your good. And your benefit. And you'll see at the end of it, you'll go, that's exactly why I should have that happened. Right? Let your what's the song said? Let your trial become a blessing. Right? And it's hard. Listen, it's hard. It is hard on our flesh and on our spirit realm. But that soul inside of you loves to come to church. Loves to read the Bible. Loves to study the message of the hour. Loves to be good to people. But that memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination that's attached to that. That's keeping that thing like this. You know, like, you know, when Lazarus was taken out of the and given his life back, you know, he still had to be loosed. Even though he had life. Even though he had life. Even though you got eternal life and Satan is still got his hands around you, but God said, Lazarus, come forth. And he called your name and said, come forth. And your soul then what? Was what? Resurrected. And walk in the newness of life. You still are bound by those grave clothes. Because Jesus even had to say, he said, hey, loose him. That's what we're talking about now. We're trying to get the loosing part. Loose us. Loose those things and let us go. He was still bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So he couldn't do nothing. I mean, he was totally alive, but he was like this. But once he got out of that thing, man, he wasn't sleeping. I promise you that. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. God of this evil age, he talks about the inside man. Now, do we all understand there's five senses to the outside, memories and conscious effects, imagination on the inside. Five, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. That's just to contact this world. They can be fooled. Every one of them can be fooled. Memory, reason, conscious effects, imagination, that's where God is and that's where Satan plays. But if your soul is born again today, it is God. It is no more God, it is no less God. But he wants to be more God in your spirit realm. He wants to be more than sometimes we even want him to be. So I'm not going to read this again because the very bottom man is what? Free moral agency, free will. We were talking about this morning, that inside guy. Because that spirit is of a worldly nature, as we were speaking of this morning. Because it was not given from God, but it was permitted by God. All right. Now you got to understand that. You say, well, where did it come from? It did come from God, but it wasn't eternal. It was perfect. Your soul. The breath of God breathed into your kid when you were a baby. And you became a living soul, but you didn't become a newborn creature in Christ. You were still born in sin, still sleeping in iniquity, still a spouse from your mother's womb, a liar, doomed and on your way to hell. So look. So that person inside is a sinner to begin with. So the five inlets is what we, memories and conscience, that's what we're going to talk about from now on. And he talks about your body. And as I've always said, and some people look at you all cross-eyed, they say, my flesh made me do this. No, your flesh did not make you do that. Your flesh never made you do anything that your spirit inside of you didn't want it to do. I cannot move my hand without thinking that my hand's going to move. Everybody with me? All right. So you're motivated by what? Your flesh? No. You're motivated by the spirit that's inside of you. All right. So there's no faculty or mental faculty even in your brain. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, not as a man thinketh in his brain. Now you got to process it through there, like this computer. You got to process the information through there. Right. But remember the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. All right, garbage in, garbage out, good in, good out. This guy is just along for the ride. But it's cursed, and it's dying. It's getting gray-headed. I want Brother Joe and some of them to do this, and I know y'all probably don't want it done, but I think I'll keep it a secret. Never mind. Boy, ain't that good. So now, from now till the end of the service, you're not going to think about nothing but what I'm going to do. Amen. No, I was looking back to 2013. If you ever look back in on our website, we've got the Valentine's banquet coming up in February. Go back to 2013 and look at y'all then, and look at you now. Okay then. We may just display that during the next Valentine's banquet. You know, the 2013, 2014, 2015, it just keeps getting worse and worse. Now to the last man, which is the soul. There's only one sense. I was looking at, Esther just looked over at Tony, and I looked at their wedding picture the other day. Wow. Next quote. Some people, they were married 29 years, and that's wonderful. That's a good, that's great. You know, we look at, I was talking to somebody the other day about weddings, and we just got from Lily and Zach's, and looks like we may have another one coming up. So give us a break, somebody else, if you don't mind. But you look at all the time, effort, and money. And message believers, though, we live under a whole different attitude. But the world, 50% of people within 5 years are divorced. 5 out of 10. So when they walk up there to the aisle and they're just people of the world, anything can take them apart. But Brother Brown said, what God joined together. You take two Holy Ghost filled people, they'll learn to love each other. They'll learn to stay together through thick and thin. Now it's just nothing like, well, you burnt the macaroni, I'm out of here. I'll get on whatever that is and Tinder or whatever, and I'll find me another one real quick. Right? I just got it from you. You said it one time. To me, Tinder is like something you burn, like kindling or something like that. You know, Bob said it. Okay, Bob, did you say Tinder? Okay, so Tinder is a dating app for anybody that doesn't know that. You swipe left if you like them and right if you don't, so it kind of weeds. But you see, that's what the world. I saw it online. I read it online. But no, that's what the world lives under. And you spend $25,000 and $30,000 for weddings now. Can you imagine 5 years later? They're gone from each other? What in the world? But see, Lily and Zach, there's nothing in their mind that I know, nothing in our minds that says, well, about 5 years from now, we ain't going to see one of them. No. No, it's real. It's for us. And that's why you get two Holy Ghost-filled people together. And they going to fight and fuss. Lily's already hit him. Look at his hand. He said he done something with it at a bachelor party. But anyway, we won't talk about that either. But I believe it was more like frying pan. Yeah, frying pan. And that's all right. Just don't come in next week with another one like that. You'll learn shut up and stand up. It's two different words. But you see, we can, even our sweetheart's banquet, and we can negotiate life if you'll just let God in your life. If you'll let God in your life, there sometimes you do think that, hey, this is it, I'm done. But then God will bring one preacher, or he'll bring one sister to call you, or one brother will call you and say, hey, I hear you having trouble. I want to pray for you. Man, talk about a bomb in Gilead. Talk about something that'll smooth something over. Talk about what a surety and that faith that we have. That two people can come together. And we can live together in harmony. And we can live together as mom and dad has for 60 5 years. Amen. A lot longer than a lot of us been born, that's for sure, alive, right? And I know, and listen, when you say this in a congregation, and I don't want to make anybody mad or think about old things, but we just have life. A lot of times we make bad decisions. Right, Donnie? You know, I mean, you make bad decisions, but you've come to the truth. You've come to the truth. Let's go forward from that. Don't worry about that, what happened in the past. Let's go forward from that. That's why I believe Brother Branham gave us a provision when he gave us marriage and divorce. He said, go on as you are. In other words, don't go back. Amen. Go forward. Continue on as you are and don't ever do that again. Our problem is a lot of people do that again. Well, see, that you took yourself right out from under grace. Boy, I ain't going to preach on marriage and divorce. Y'all stay right where you at. We'll be fine. What were we talking about? Oh, having weddings. But really, think about it. If you'll sit down sometime and just write down the pros and cons of being in the message of what we don't have to deal with that the world deals with every day, you better consider yourself a blessed group of people. I mean a blessed group of people. And I know we have anxiety. I know we have fear. I know we have stress. I know we have strife. I know we have wayward kids. And we have problems at work. And we have problems here and problems there. But listen, we know how to handle them if you'll just go by the Bible. And that Holy Ghost inside of you will lead you and guide you into all truth. And that means how to handle your boss. How to handle the girl in the drive-thru that hates your guts. And she don't even know you. I say a girl. Some guys too. But I just appreciate God giving me an opportunity to at least try to get inside that building called the Message of the Hour, which is tied in completely with the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Amen? So let's skip this right here. We done seen all this. Remember, obeying the truth. That's why I love what Brother Bob was bringing out this morning. We got to obey the truth. If you obey the truth, then you get the promises and you get the power behind the truth. Everybody with me on that? You get the power behind the truth. But listen, God does not have to honor non-truth. Right. He actually hates it. Right. We're going to read it maybe if we get down to it. Nico. Nicolaitan spirit. Conquering. Because that word, yeah, we're going to get to it if we get down to it. Where that says to conquer and to conquer. It said Nico is to conquer. Right. Brother Brown says conquer the laity. That's what Satan's done. He's conquered the laity, and then he's got the preachers too. All right? But it was obeying what God said to do is what brought the power, what brought the virtue is obedience to the Word of God. And for those of you, Lily and Zach, that's been married, if you'll put God first, the center of your life, the center of everything you do, put God first, I'll promise you, your life will be a lot easier than a life lived out in the world. Amen. Listen, we are not a set apart group of people that we set apart. We're a set apart group of people that God set apart. The whole world, listen, the whole world can have this today. The whole world. But they don't want it. No, because Satan is what? He's the king of this world. He's the god of this evil age. He wants this place to be destroyed. He wants you to be destroyed. You know the quote, misery loves company? It really does. There's some people I've met that if they weren't miserable, they'd be miserable. How'd that sound? But have you ever met somebody like that? If God healed them of everything they had, they'd be like, why? Why? Because that's the program. That's the program the world gives you, a program to always be this and always be that. Negativism. Brother Bram says we're not building an organization. That's what we got to this morning. He's not building an organization. Look, what he sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ. That they might be the what? The powerhouse and dwelling place of the Spirit by his word. By his word, build up the individual to that place. Not build an organization. Listen, there's people out there in organizations that are absolute super good people. That like Dr. Bennett, that mom and him goes to, we've all been, all of our life almost, You go there too, Boyd? You know some? Yeah, okay. Well, Dr. Bennett is just, if he was a believer, I'm talking about a message believer, with all the truth, he'd be standing right here. He's just a good Christian, as good as he can stand, a Christian. But God's not building an organization. He's putting all of his strength on an organization, a Baptist to take him across or a Methodist to take him across. We're not. We're depending on God to take us across. Amen. But build the individual to sons and daughters of God. That's the idea. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. Well, now you're coming to a place. Now we're going to talk about virtue just for a minute, and then we'll get down to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. The whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him. Now, there's not, science has proven that there's something with contact. Remember, Brother Abraham and Brother Brown's, when they had limited x-ray and different things, that they proved that Mayo or whoever it was proved that if you reach and touch something, there's a charge goes between you and that person. So it's contact. That's why Brother Branham would, sometimes he would take the sisters by the shoulder or take them by the hand, right? And sometimes he wouldn't. Sometimes he'd just point his finger at them. So it really is not to the fleshly contact. He contacted their spirit, and when he contacted their spirit, the Holy Spirit that was there did whatever, healed them, saved them, whatever it was. But there had to be God there for that to go out of. Like I said before, if you're having trouble in your marriage, don't go see somebody who's been divorced 7 times. That's like I told you, I think before, Hannah's, you know, working at the battery plant. She's making good money, and she's trying to get her debt straightened out. She's had some debt problems. I know she's not the only one, but she started, I took her to the bank and we started talking to the banker, and she started saying some things, and I'm like, where'd that come from? Like, you know, how to consolidate your loan. Well, just make the minimum payment. I said, no. Who told you that? Her credit score was like 550. I said, who'd you hear that from? Somebody's credit score was 550? No, I said, you need to talk to somebody whose credit score is 800. Right? That's where you are with the Word of God and the things of life. Why do we need to go somewhere else when we got the answer here? We've got the answer in the Word of God. We've got a credit score of 800. Why do you want to listen to somebody else? Take that as a life lesson, my brother. But risk, I mean, that's the mentality of the world. They'll migrate to that every time. Birds of a feather. You know, all the 550 credit scores get together and say, boy, this is the way to do it. Well, what's your score? 550? Well, what's your 550? This is the way to do it. Not. Anyway. That's why I said, that's why Brother Brown said a novice did not write the Bible. Novices, God did not use novices to write the Bible. He used mature people to write the Bible. Why would you go to a novice that's never had any experience with God or never had any, like I said about a marriage counselor. You go to a marriage counselor and he's got all these degrees, and then you ask him about his wife and he said, well, number four, she's doing okay. I'd go out the door. Amen? That's why we enjoy having the truth. We enjoy dealing with somebody that's at least tried their life to live their life good. We've all had mistakes, but still, we've tried to make sure that the ship stayed upright. And we can depend on each other, not give totally false information. Wherever that came from, it's free. Well, if your credit's not bad, it's free. You'll get that in a minute. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, spent all of her life, her earnings, upon physicians, neither could be healed of any of them. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? Because what happened was, he didn't feel the material move. Because his robe was moving the whole time. It was moving, bumping up against people. Because Peter says, well look, Peter says, of course old Peter jumped up. He said, why are you talking about, Lord? Everybody's touching you. He said, Peter, in other words, you don't understand what I'm telling you. Right here, he says, Peter, somebody touched me because of virtue or strength that he had built up inside of him. A part of that had left him and had went and what? Healed that lady with the blood issue. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She wasn't afraid to testify. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Now that word virtue right there means the same thing as the Holy Ghost. Because it's dunamis. It's power. Mighty work, strength, strength, power, ability, inherent power. So that, in other words, Brother Brown said, though, we'll read it here in just a few minutes, where Brother Brown said, you got to have it to give it out. And you can't go buy it. You got to have it inside of you so you can give it out. That's what Jesus had. He didn't have to go get it. And I love Peter in that situation where Peter and I believe it was Peter and John that was in the Gate Beautiful. They didn't have to go call the state presbyter. They didn't have to go call the other disciples. Peter said, look on us. Look right here. I want you to focus on this. I don't want you to focus. Don't focus on my ugly face. I want you to focus on me. Focus on what I'm fixing to tell you that I have. Silver and gold, I can't buy you a ticket to the physician. But such as I do have, I'm fixing to display it. And I believe the man in his heart said, I want what they want. And he got what he wanted. And Brother Brown says, look, here's what we do. What's the first thing? Have faith and be born again. We talked about that several months ago. But after we lay the foundation, secondly, you add to your faith. First you have faith, then you add virtue to your faith. That is the next column. First, pour your foundation, then to your faith, add virtue. Now, right there knocks a lot of us down. Wow. Boy, that's only the first virtue. And Brother Brown said, that knocks a lot of us down. Right there knocks a lot of us down. Yes, sir. And add virtue to your faith. That doesn't just mean living a virgin life. Everybody with me? Let's wake up. It's getting a little hot in here, and I know it's hard to stay awake, but just try to stay awake a little while longer. That doesn't just mean living a virgin life, you know, like a woman or a man and so forth. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. It didn't matter to that woman that Jesus was a virgin. It didn't matter to the man that gave beautiful what Peter's background was. He was focused on what that man, he had what, he'd either heard or seen, though, that they had something different than the rest of the. They probably, that man went to the Pharisees, Sadducees, he went to the Herodians, he went to the physicians, he went like the woman, 12 years looking for a doctor. And that man, when he was sitting at that gate, he looked up. And he said, I want what you got. I'm going to try you. I've tried everything else. You know what the woman said? She said, I've tried everything else. But I'm just want to touch his garment. Brother Bram said, being a virgin has nothing to do with it. I'm going to skip to that a little bit further. Virtue. Before you can let it out, you got to have it first. You haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out of. What if someone tried to draw virtue out of us and the check would return insufficient funds? See? No. None there to draw from. Check bounce. Somebody looking at you as a Christian and tomorrow see you out carrying on like a sinner. Now, there's not a lot of virtue in that. Not much virtue can be drawn from that, see. Virtue must be in us. Now, what is virtue? It's power. Inherent power from having the Holy Ghost. You have Holy Ghost virtue inside of you. You just got to be able to use it. All right? Then when you get true virtue, you can add it to your faith. That's the next foundation wall. Now, first you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. All right? Faith alone will not do it. Peter said, then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. And then it might be the reason you don't have it is because many churches of today teach you don't have to have it. I say some in the message teach you don't have to. They don't even worry about the statue of perfect man. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Some of you preachers, I know some of you that's been around. That hardly anybody preaches on the statue of perfect man. I said hardly. There are some. But it's not prevalent. It's not trying. They're just trying to get the people... Anyway, in prayer line, maybe. They teach you don't have to have it. The days of it is past. They don't have to have it. The only thing you have to do is just join church. Yeah, days is past. Virtue. Anyone knows what the word virtue means? See, we must have it. If virtue went from him to heal the woman that was sick, he's expecting the same virtue in his church. Let me read that one more time. If virtue went from him to heal the woman that was sick, he's expecting the same virtue in his church. Because he's our example. And if he had virtue to give to the people, he expects us. Amen. Expects us to have virtue to give to the people. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength and power. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Because remember, all those seals, we see that power was given. There was a power permitted. But there is an inherent power of God that caused those seals to open. It caused the white horse rider to ride off. Because he was comfortable where he was at down through the church ages. Because of false doctrine, because of false teaching and different things. But when Brother Branham comes up and he stands there and that seal breaks and he said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand and there goes the white horse rider. Satan had to leave. Satan had to get away from him. But what did he do though? He took a power with him. He took a virtue with him. Listen, that's your perfect man. Brother Brown says, look, Peter said, add virtue. Now, Peter's talking about building the house of God, the temple of God, fix it to a place. And after you have virtue, you must have, after you have faith, he said, you must have virtue with it. Having virtue for the whole world. That'll make you silent. Virtue for the whole world. I preached a sermon about 20 years ago on Reverend Mr. Lilly. Lilly the pastor took it from the text where Jesus said, consider the lily, how they neither toil or spin, yet I say to you, Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one, like this one. Look at the lily. It comes from way down in the muck. Every minute of the day it has to be drawing from the earth. And what does it do with this virtue that it draws? It gives it out. Listen, you can't today sit here and say, I have virtue, and keep it all to yourself. Virtue has to be forwarded to someone else. That's why Paul had to go see Ananias. Come on, somebody. To get that dunamis or that power from Ananias to Paul. Because after Ananias prayed for Paul, his scales fell off his eyes. He received the Holy Ghost. Because the life comes through the body. Every minute of the day it has to be drawn from the earth. And what does it do with this virtue that it draws? It gives it out. It makes a beautiful sight for the admirer. It opens up itself for honey for the bee to come and get his part. Don't complain. It's just got it to give out. What if the bee come in there, insufficient funds, no honey? That little bee would scratch his head and say, what kind of lily is that? What kind of Christian is that? That don't have no strength to give nothing out to people. Just a weak Christian. Well, if you're a weak Christian, that means you've not paid your tithe, come to church, read your Bible, study. That's the only standard we can put it up against is the Word of God. Can't put it up on what this one said and that one said, but if we put it up on what the Word of God says, and we decide that's what we're going to listen to, come on now. Don't get quiet. Don't start snoring either. I said then, the first thing you know, there's somebody who loves to smell the odor. He ain't selfish. A pastor, Brother Dale, different ones. They give their life. They're not selfish. Amen. Selfish people can't be pastors. Me. No, you can't be selfish. He's got odor. Before he can give out odor, he has to have it. Before he can give out beauty, he has to have it. Before he can give out virtue, you have to have it. So add to your faith virtue. Amen. Understand? All right, look. I put this in here. This is what Brother Brown said. She touched not the physical person of Jesus, in other words. I'm paraphrasing here. But she pulled out what she needed. She needed to be healed of a blood issue. That was her whole problem in life. And so what did she do? She touched him spiritually. She did physically touch his garment. But that didn't heal her, the garment part. These don't heal us. But the what? The power or virtue behind it is what does the healing. You can take cloths off of anybody and just hand them out. But are they going to do any good? No, this has power behind it. Nothing to do with this, though. Nothing to do with this. It's what's inside. It's what? It's the approach. Right? Now, Jesus, we were talking about the centurion. This is where the power, to me, this scenario shows one thing for sure. That centurion was not a Christian. He wasn't even a Jew. So he didn't go to the synagogue. He didn't believe in Moses' doctrine. He was just a rank sinner. He was just a heathen, a Roman, a dog that the Jews would consider. But the centurion had to have some sense about him that he watched Jesus, and every time Jesus would walk by, things happen. Walk by and reach and grab somebody, and they stand up, boom. Lazarus, come forth, boom. They see all these people that are blind. He may have been around that day when blind Bartimaeus received his sight. You don't know. He had to be somewhere because he answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only. Speak the word only. Look, and he never said, maybe my servant will be healed. He said, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man of authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go. You know what he was saying? He said, Lord, I know what you do. You say to that devil, go, and it goes. Come, and he cometh to my servant. Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of God. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out in outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The centurion didn't have any virtue, but he knew where to go get it at. He knew where to go. How many times have you, in your life, being a Christian, have just some random somebody, or you say, hey, buddy, can I pray for you? Or somebody come up to you and say something to you, and it's kind of like, how'd you know that? Well, you're different. I've been watching you across the room. You're different. I've got a problem. What is it? It's a draw. They need virtue, and we've got it. Now, listen to this real quick, and I'll get to the seal part in just a minute. I can imagine them apostles never acted like us. This is a prophet. They went around, probably men of few words, till they got in the pulpit. They walked in, they'd done what they were supposed to do, and walked out. Yes, sir. They had power. They had virtue. They had no arguments with men. They knew where they stood. That's all. They know who they believe. They kept on walking in the Spirit. Just as I said the other night, one little nod, that's all God had to do. Then nothing's going to stop them. They didn't question and study and hum-haw and worry like we do whether they should do this or not. This is Brother Branham saying that we do that. He's talking about himself. Just one little nod from God, that done it just as soon. Why? How could they know it was a nod from God? They had all these virtues in here, all these qualifications. So they knew by what? Their virtues that God was saying, go ahead. And the first little nod of God compared with every bit of this and with his word. They knowed it was the word of God, and away they went. Didn't have to worry about nothing else. When God spoke, they went. Now here's one at the gate, beautiful. Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Look, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Expecting to receive something of them. Expecting to receive something when you walk through that door. Expecting to receive something when you press play. Expecting to receive something when you open a book and read a book or read the Bible. Expecting. We should not read this like a newspaper. And I know we do sometimes. Well, I got to read my daily devotion, you know, whatever it is. Are you expecting to receive something? Wow. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, not that I got to go get or go buy or talk to Jesus again. Come on, somebody. Jesus had already left, and he said, what power I got, I'm giving to y'all. Amen. And you use that power the same way I did. Yes. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Wow, what a miracle. And he leaped up, stood, walked, and entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he that sat at alms, so the other people had already seen him the whole time. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in a porch called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, look, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus. He's preaching them a little sermonette here. Whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. He rebuked every one of them standing there. The whole temple, full of priests, probably full of Caiaphas was there, and Sadducees, and a whole bunch. He said, y'all bunch, what'd you do? You denied the very one that you're saying that you worship. Let's look at this real quick, and then we'll close, and then we'll back up maybe next Sunday and preach a little more on this. Revelation 6, verse 1. So now let's shake yourself for just a minute, and let's see if we can put these together. And the second one and the third one and all down through here. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, which one was it? It was lion. The lion, which was the power, the powerful one. All right. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. White horse. Not a dirty one. White horse. Seemed to be righteous. Seemed to have power. And he that sat on him had a bow. We know that. He didn't have any arrows. He was a bluff. But it kind of looks good the way this is put in the Bible, right? Kind of looks good. Kind of looks good because Brother Brown even was deceived. Come on, somebody. He preached the Mighty Conqueror in 1957, 1959, and said that was the Holy Ghost. But remember, he had to progress. Once those seals opened, he knew that white horse rider was the Antichrist, not Jesus Christ. All right. And I beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Well, if you don't believe me, go to the first seal. Brother Ram said, if I'd have made a horrible mistake if the Lord hadn't come into the room. What? He was going to preach that was a white horse rider, was the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. Don't throw stones at me. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Look, and a crown was given. A crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now that word, brilliant, that white horse, brilliant from whiteness, spoken of the garments of angels, of those exalted to the splendor of the heavenly state, shining or white garments worn on festive or state occasions. Look, used of white garments as the sign of innocence and purity of soul. That's how Satan presented himself. He presented himself in the first church age as that, a white, righteous church. Yep, right. That God was right there. He used white. Look, white, that means purity. That was the worst mistake that people made by pointing to that and saying that's God. Because it wasn't God. None of this, whole 6:1-2, is not God. 6:2 is not God. That's Satan. But we give him, as Brother Gary Atkins always said, we give him the power. We draw virtue. The world draws virtue off of that. Daily. The whole world. Listen. The whole world is deceived. Except for the bride. Read your Bible, Revelations of whatever it is, 17 or somewhere another. He deceived the whole world. Except those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Deceive them all. Revelations 13:8. Because it correlates with Hebrews 13:8. Used white garments as a sign of innocence and purity. Then that word conquer means Niko or Nikeo or Nicolaitan spirit. Look, overcome. Conquer. Prevail. Get the victory. To conquer, to carry off the victory, come off victorious. Now of Christ, it's victorious over all his foes, of Christians that hold fast their faith, even unto death against the power of their foes, and temptation and persecution. When one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case, maintain one's cause. And I wrote myself a note. That was all a false power in Revelation 6, verse 2. But the world, one more time, the world on that scripture draws virtue saying that that's God. When it's the devil. But on the flip side, like I said before, when the seal opened, it meant that Jesus was revealed first. That there is a white righteous church. That there is something, what? Conquer and to conquer? What's the statue of perfect man? Who are you conquering? Oh, I'm conquering the devil. No, you're not. You're conquering yourself. You're conquering yourself. And you can be white. There was a white righteous church in the first church age. But Satan was right there mirroring the whole thing all the way down through there. Listen, the first church, first two or three church ages, they did conquer. They conquered Satan. By their power that was given, or that virtue that was given of the true word of God. And then what happened? Satan turns around and gets on another horse. And he starts deceiving them again. Right? And listen, he deceives them this time with a little bit of knowledge. That's the next one coming up. The second seal is what? He comes in as a red horse. Right? And he rides through a couple of church ages. False power the whole time. But it was knowledge. When they went to Nicaea, it was knowledge of man that created these false doctrines. Not God. God does not ever formulate a false doctrine. But Satan gets on his white horse in the first church age and he deceives them enough to take the power away from the church and for the church to put all their strength and virtue or false power on that what? Beast system. That's why Nicolaitan conquered the laity. If they conquer the laity, they got everything else. So that false power is what come up in the first few church ages. That's why that we had to have a faith that went back to that first church age, brought the true word of God, the true virtue, and brought it into this church age. By a prophet that what? Preached. Listen, there's not a man, like I said, beside Jesus Christ that had as much virtue as that man did. That you could pull from him and he could call 50 people on a prayer line and get to about number 10 and he's staggering. He's had so much strength pulled out of him by the congregation and by the people. But you know what? It had to be there first. It had to be there. That's why, to me, he's a vindicated prophet. And if you turn him down, that white horse has got you. Right? That false power has got you. So the virtue. Now watch. Let's talk about, just for a minute, let's talk about church being a woman. Everybody understand? Everybody with me? I know about half of y'all are asleep, but I'm going to preach right on. Somebody listen. Ruth 3 verse 11 says, look, and now my daughter. Now this is Boaz and Ruth, right? Ruth being on top of the church, or top of you and me, because we need a redemption. And now my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. How'd they know that? How'd they know that? By the way she acted. In the city. Not just in the church. In the city, in her everyday life, going into Naomi, coming out from Naomi, going into Boaz, and going to doing the things same way with me and you. To me, that's the virtue and the strength that God wants is for each one of us. Like I said before, when that first seal opened, it opened and it exposed the Antichrist, but to me it revealed Jesus Christ and where he was. Or where he is. He's in me and you. He was in that first three church ages. There was truth in those church ages. It wasn't just completely wiped out. No, but Satan tried his best to put the light out. Because remember, in the fourth church age, he almost got everybody. He killed 68 million Christians. Born again believers. Because of what? What they believe. But for all the city of my people to know that thou art a virtuous woman. Proverbs 12 verse 4. The Bible says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Bride. Bridegroom. A virtuous bride is a crown to the bridegroom. That's what God's looking for now, people. He's looking for that in me and you. Listen. He wasn't looking for it in the fourth church age. They could barely just say they were Christians in the fourth church age, and they died. They didn't have much of a life. Right? But now you and I, look, we live in flowery bed of ease almost. Amen? We drive cars that cost more than most houses did when we were growing up. Right? Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, a virtuous woman is a what? A crown to her husband. Now remember, a crown was given in that first seal. A crown was given. Was it a real crown? No, it was a false crown. There was a false crown given so he could look good. Satan wants to look good. He wants everybody to look good. That's why he wants you to paint your face up, and he wants you to put you on tight clothes, and he wants you to do this and have all the glamour of the world. But the most beautiful people in the world is the bride of Jesus Christ. Don't have to put on. Don't have to take off. Some of these people you see out there in the world and they're like, I'd hate to see that with all that off of her. Paint, what I'm talking about. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. My question to you is, can you do that? Can you do that? Can Lord Jesus look at you and say, that's my virtuous wife? Spotless. Sinless. Really? Let me read you a quote here. But now she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. Righteous and just. Listen to this. And we'll read something in just a second and we'll close. The virtuous person exhibits the joint excellence of reason and character. A virtuous person not only knows what the good thing to do is, he or she is always also emotionally attached to it. Think about that. Run that around in your head. A virtuous person not only knows what the good thing to do is, he or she is emotionally attached to it. Jesus was emotionally attached to Lazarus. He was emotionally attached to that centurion because he looked at that centurion. He said, I can't find no greater faith in Israel. Everybody in Israel says I'm a devil. The ones that don't say I'm a devil say I'm this and say I'm that. But that centurion just saw him live his life. Can the centurion in your life do the same thing? Question. Can the people in the world see that you're different? That you've got virtue about you that the world can't touch? That's my question to you. And then if when you got it, do you know what to do with it? You're emotionally attached to it. In other words, I want the virtue of Jesus Christ. I don't want that virtue of the white horse rider. I don't want to be given a crown. Right? Don't worry. You'll get a crown. But it'll be because of the virtue of Jesus Christ, not because of the virtue of somebody giving you that, like the devil. Let's listen to this quote and then we'll close. But I like that. You not only know what to do, but you're emotionally attached to it. That's our problem. We're not emotionally attached to the word. Now, I'm not talking about crying. And I'm talking about emotion. I'm talking about not having agape love. I mean, filial love, but agape love for the word of God. Agape love, virtue, not the other one. Listen to this. Visible union, the bride of Christ. Musicians, come on. He, the bridegroom, took away your shame and put it in the sea of forgetfulness. By the washing of the water of the word and the blood of life. That's what the Bible said. Your first husband that you were married to, the world, the anointed bridegroom which foreordained you has washed you by the washing of the water by the church. Congregation says no. That don't sound right, does it? You might find that in the almanac, but you're not going to find that in God's Bible. By the washing of the water by the word. In the word, see, by the, you are standing completely justified. Let's stand. As though you never did it at the beginning. This is my message to the church. This was on, actually, this was on Thanksgiving Day, I believe it was. And this was his Thanksgiving message. Kind of a weird message to the world that he didn't talk about pilgrims and turkeys. He talked about your standing completely justified as though you never did it at the beginning. That's virtue, folks. This is my message to the church now as we go off the air just in a moment, just in a minute. You are standing. If you're standing on God's word and with God's word, every amen, every jot, every tittle, where are you standing? Question mark. I'm trying to tell you, pull away from them shucks and get out here in the wheat where you can get right before the sun. I hear the coming of the combine. You're standing complete, justified like you never did it in the first place. Hallelujah. Talk about a Thanksgiving. I feel real good. I'm more thankful for that than anything I know of. Listen to this. You, the bride, this virtuous woman I'm talking about, you are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the Living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and believes every word of God stands as though you never sinned at the first place. Can we not draw virtue off of that? Can we not draw strength? That's where our strength should come. That God said that about us. God said it in the word about a virtuous woman. And then he sent us a prophet to reiterate that and say, it's you. Though you never sinned at the first place, you are perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? You are. By virtue of God, not the devil. Because there's two powers working. We know that. And this power over here and this power over here, there's not a lot of difference in it as far as what we see. Because it's deceiving 99% of the world. It's deceiving them. They're deceived. I'm sorry. The Bible says they're deceived. They're deceived. And only 1% of maybe 1% in this whole world believes that they are the bride of Jesus Christ. And the Bible will back it up. Right? The Bible's got to back up what I said. The Bible's had to back up what Brother Brown said. It wasn't that Brother Brown said it, and I believe it, and that's it. Well, you know, he can, his son can say that or whoever can say that, but I believe that we live by every word of God. Amen? And if Brother Brown speaks the word of God, that's God talking to us. And I believe that. But when you say that, that means you ain't got to study. It's just, he said it and I believe it. You got to study, the Bible says, to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing what you hear on those books and tapes. Rightly dividing what you hear from this pulpit. Rightly dividing. Not wrongly dividing. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? Because you know what? There's one quote I'm bringing where Brother Brown said, let's stand up today and address the third person of the Trinity. Well, he never believed in no third person of the Trinity. Right? People misunderstood him. I mean, you know, we talk about other stuff. You know, Brother Brown preached 1977 was going to end the world. He didn't say that, though. They said he said that. But he preached it anyway. Why'd he preach it? Confused people. We're still here, aren't we? It proved one thing's for sure. That there were some people in this world that knew what he was talking about. And didn't turn their books in 1977. Like Brother Dale. Different ones. That didn't quit the message because they thought that's what he said. And why did he preach that? Why did he preach marriage and divorce? Well, you know, to confuse a lot of people. Listen. Brother Brown said God would have one brother say something to another brother to see how they'll react. God, not the devil. God will have one brother say something about another one to see how they react. God knowing from the foundation of the world how you'd react to begin with, but you didn't know how you'd react. And if you know how to react and build on it, thank God. That's virtue, that's strength, that's power that we need. Not the power that's out there in the world. Not the power that comes from Satan. That's permitted power. You and I don't have a permitted power. God's not a permitted power. He permits power. But he's not a permitted power. He is power. And if you and I connect to that, that makes us what? The virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what the Bible said about us. And then we need to draw strength off of that. Draw virtue off of that. Well, I ain't nothing. I ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. That may be true, but one day you're going to stand on your own two feet. And you're going to have to face the devil. Oh, no, not me. I'll let you do that. No, you ain't going to let me do that. Brother Brown said he's building individuals. You're an individual. He's building individuals to what? Stand when the time comes to stand. He's building you. He's built us now for 60 years or 50 years since the prophet's been gone. Plus in this church, trying to get us to see that we're what? We can stand. What a victory it is that you can stand on your own two feet. In this world where they don't care what you do, they don't care where you go, as long as you just go as the flow, I guess you might say, or go as the normal. That's why we're not normal. I want the world to know, like Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the world hates you, pretty much is what he said. And what did Martin Luther say? He said, I want the whole world to know I don't like them either. That's the way I want to look. I want the devil to know I don't like him. You don't, so you just sit there quiet? He's beat us too much. He's beat on us and beat on us and beat on us. It's time for us to look and say, hey, buddy, your power is permitted. Mine is eternal. Yours is going to end one day. Mine's not. You say, well, what if he jumps on me? It'll be for your good. God will not allow that unless he knows you're going to take it. Amen? So let's start what? Let's start exerting some virtue. Let's start letting it out. Be the virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. Let's sing a song.
Greater than all my sin.
Greater than all my sin.
Let's worship just a few minutes.
It's the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free.
To do what?
To praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, greater than all my
Satan, you're defeated.
Sin,
that you will not be able to touch him unless God allows. And Father, I pray that you'd have, Lord, that this thing of the coughing and different thing in his neck, Lord, and his knees, Lord, that you'll strengthen him, Lord, and heal him, Father. That you'll be with him, Lord, and grant this, Father, as the whole church prays, Lord. And we pull, Lord, on the gift, Lord, that you give us all, Lord. That you'll heal our brother, Lord, in the righteous and lovely name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Believe, love. Of life, I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Sing it to him. You believe that?
He's greater than all my sin. It's the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him.
Sing it to Him.
Oh, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, greater than all my sin.
Lord, we know this, brother, that
still
that Brother Gary's talking about, Lord, and we pray that you'd just touch him, Lord.
It's the grace.
We know, Lord, that you have the power to release that demon from the smoking. And I pray, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you'll do that, Father. That the next cigarette he puts in his mouth that makes him so sick, he throws it away, Lord. And that you'll be with him and bless him. Lord, save his soul, Father. Lord, he's a good worker, and I pray that you'd keep him strong, Lord, so he can help our brother, Lord. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we'll hear a good report, Lord. That he'll not know, and he'll wonder what in the world's happened, but we'll know it's you, Lord. That strength that we're talking about, the power, Lord, that lies in the bride of Jesus Christ. As our brother lays hands on him, Lord, may this happen in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see it happen, okay? We'll see it happen, okay?
It's me. It's the grace that still sets me free.
To do what?
To praise Him. I know the blood applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Where's Sophia? Miss Grace. I hope y'all got that.
Yes.
Miss Grace. On display.
Grace.
The innocence of a child showed me grace today. Every one of y'all did a good job, okay? Don't get all ill. But when I saw that, I about shouted. That's Miss Grace. And did Brother Brown talk about that? Miss Grace. Grace to the bride. A real simple young child. That's what we need for grace. Grace is, it's the greatest thing we ever get, but a young child displaying grace with a purple dress on. Wow. Wow. Did you just mean to put a purple dress on her, whoever did that? Did you do it? It's the little things. You look at those little things. It wasn't the dinosaur, sorry. It was the symbol of all that. But when I saw her do that and display herself, not... Sometimes she's a little shy. But she wasn't shy standing right here. She was Miss Grace. She wasn't Disgrace. She was Miss Grace. And I thought, Lord, that's me. That's what you did for me. You put on a purple robe and went to Calvary so that I could have grace. And it would be nothing but a simple... Jesus said, remember what he said? He said, the faith of a child. The faith of a child. Unless you have that faith, you're not going to enter into heaven. So in other words, if you don't get grace like a child. That's why we try to go, well, it's got to be, grace has got to, well, it's got to be, you know, 30 Hail Marys and we got to read 75 quotes. Childlike faith.
Yeah, right.
And everyone need it.
Yeah.
If you don't have grace, you don't have God. Because if you don't have grace, you got the devil. But man, when she spun around and put herself on display, she didn't have any problems showing who she was.
That's right.
About six or seven times, ever how long they sang that song, every time, on key. And I thought, Lord, that's for me. That's grace given to each and every one of us. Thank you. You don't know how important that was. I appreciate that. Innocence, childlike innocence. She didn't, you know what they did? They told her, said, okay, Sophia, you're going to play grace. And she's going to go, okay. Isn't that what we have to do? Lord, I accept your grace. Do you accept my grace? Yeah. Yeah, I accept it. Now, put me on display. Because I don't want to be hid. I want to show grace to everybody else. So thank you. I appreciate that. Let's sing it one more time.
Greater than all my sins is the blood that still cleanses me, is the grace that still sets me free.
To what?
To praise Him. I know the lies of life. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall for grace.
Sing it one more time to Him. Worship Him just a moment. Think of that grace. Amazing grace.
The blood that still cleanses me,
it's the grace
that still sets me free.
To what?
To praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for greater than all the blood of.
As you're dismissed, sing it again. Wednesday night, Brother Aaron, pray for him.
Greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses.